President Bush travels to Britain tomorrow for an official state visit. Asked yesterday about the estimated tens of thousands of British protesters waiting for him, the president said he wasn't concerned.
No, not concerned at all. Glad to be going to a free country where people are allowed to protest. Not the least bit.
President Bush yesterday on the White House lawn. This week's state visit seems ill-timed. Both the president and one of his British hosts, Prime Minister Tony Blair, have lost popularity in Britain because of their tough push for war in Iraq. John Micklethwaite is U.S. editor of The Economist. Michael White is political editor at The Guardian. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John Micklethwaite, can anything positive come from this visit?
I think there is a possibility that something positive can come if Bush somehow manages to show a little bit of the more charm than he generally does overseas. But it's going to be very tough because he's very insulated from the public. He's going to be kept away by walls of policemen. I think from one perspective it can't get any worse. His reputation here is so low. There was a poll over the weekend which showed that I think just 6% of people saw him as a world leader, that he can only improve on that.
Michael White, how strong is antipathy toward the president in Britain?
Well, there's a curious kind of conjuncture, really, between two different groups of people. There are what you might call anti-globalists, people on the left, anti-capitalists, sees the United States as a conventional imperial power. And they combine with people who tick the box for the softer option, which is to say the United States is fine, it's got a lot of wonderful things about it, we go there on vacation sometimes. I'd only add one thing, which is that Mr. Bush is a sort of Texas Republican populist, and having lived in the U.S., I was always struck by how badly that model exports. It has difficulty exporting to New York and Washington sometimes, but as an export to the wider world, foreigners don't get it. Why American political leaders walk around in Stetsons and cowboy boots, although it's perfectly natural to the folk from when they came.
So there's more to these strong feelings than just having to do with the war in Iraq.
Oh, yeah, it's much, much wider than the war. And for many people, the question of the Kyoto Accords, of global warming, for which the United States is seen, with some justice, I fear, as being the chief contributor to the problem.
John, this trip was arranged months ago. Should it have been cancelled?
No, I think it's right to go ahead. I think, basically, from Bush and Blair's point of view, once you'd actually set it up, I think if he'd had to climb down, it would have looked humiliating. Of course, in a week's time, I could reconsider that verdict. I think the other point which Michael brought up is the idea that America now, for many Europeans, and again, even for many Britons, is slightly more in your face than it used to be. A lot of the things we talked about to do with globalization, that is making America a much more current thing. When we turn on our news, you discover about Rumsfeld, you discover about Cheney. So if you have that degree of closeness of America, combined with somebody like Bush, who I agree with Michael absolutely, tends to get down much better in America than he does over here, that makes things very difficult.
What's on the itinerary?
Well, the itinerary, I think, has been rather carefully scheduled to avoid too many prominent clashes with the public. There's no horse-drawn ride down the Mall, as there normally is. There isn't an address to Parliament, which, after the Australian episode where he was heckled slightly, they decided it was a bad idea. I think there is a chance that Bush, the expectations are so low that some degree of Bush's personality will come through, and I think that will probably help him. It's noticeable that some papers this morning have rallied to him. And so there is a degree, I think, of downward expectation which could now be reversed.
Michael, how many protesters are expected and what's on their agenda?
Well, I don't know how many expected. I interviewed the British Foreign Secretary, Jack Straw, the other day, and he said it'll all depend on the weather, which I thought a very tactless remark. But there's no doubt that there's an enormous head of steam up on this, and it's an unusual example of European public opinion, that an awful lot of people in Britain react in the same way as the French and German, Italian and Spanish public opinions react. Some of those leaders were pro-war and some anti-war, as you know. Jacques Chirac in France has enjoyed enormous popularity in resisting the war, but it strikes me in defense, as it were, of the neocon position is that France and Germany and Britain in the mid-1990s failed utterly to protect a quarter of a million Europeans in the former Republic of Yugoslavia from being slaughtered. So there is a convenient element of amnesia in the European perception of the United States as a sort of global hegemonic power run by an idiot from Texas. I've seen President Bush up close, and I saw his father up close, and the younger Bush seems to be far more in control of himself.
What about security, John? Aren't they going to put something of a bubble around President Bush?
Yes, I think that's one of the reasons why the journalists are suddenly all getting slightly annoyed about it, because all our lives are going to be interfered with to this extent. But I think underneath it, there's this big question of whether it's anti-Bushism or anti-Americanism. And Michael's dead right. There's a lot of latent anti-Americanism lying around the place. But what's interesting about Bush is he seems to have epitomised to many people the things which they dislike about America. And there is a great deal of amnesia in terms of looking back at history and people not recognising what this country owes to America. And what they're, at the moment, they're summing up a lot of powerlessness, a lot of fear, and aiming it all at Bush.
The last time an American president visited Britain was Ronald Reagan in 1982, and a lot's happened since then between these two countries, right, Michael?
Well, yes, indeed. Mr. Reagan had quite a lot of trouble, too. He was going to address the joint session of Parliament in Westminster Hall, which is the oldest part of the Houses of Parliament, nearly 1,000 years old. The Labour Party, then in opposition, objected, and he ended up being in a rather less prestigious venue. So this is old stuff, and the relationship between President Reagan, of course, and Margaret Thatcher was a strong one too, although in that period Labour was in opposition and it was easy for Labour politicians to take cheap shots, as it were, at the US president. What's so striking about this situation is that you have a prime minister on the left, the centre-left, used to be ideologically close to Bill Clinton, anathema to American Republicans, of course, especially to the Bushies, and for reasons of accident and his sort of liberal interventionism, almost a Woodrow Wilson — he was the last man to have a state visit here — he's a kind of liberal interventionist, as Wilson was, whereas Bush didn't start from that position at all. He started in a much more isolationist position. So the whole business is fraught with fascinating paradoxes. Who knows? It might be a triumph. We might surprise us all. He can be very charming when he wants to, Mr. Bush, and the expectations are low.
Michael White is political editor at The Guardian. John Micklethwaite is U.S. editor of The Economist. Thank you both.